People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. This is Fine Music Radio and the program People of Note. Welcome from Rodney Trudgeon. Today I have two guests in the studio, but first of all, there's been a CD that's just been released called Echoes of Sophiatown. Now, this is the result of a project dedicated to preserving, celebrating, and reviving the original music and dance of South Africa's swing era. It's named for the Johannesburg suburb that gave rise to the Marabi and Kwela musical stylings that actually defined South African swing. And the project aims to rekindle the passion for township swing music that was stifled under the rising apartheid regime in the late 1950s. Well, the guests in the studio with me are the project coordinators, Brendan Argent and Sarah Boyd, and they have a company called Cape Town Swing. So first of all, both of you, welcome.
Thank you.
Fine Music Radio.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm intrigued. This is going to be interesting because I'm most intrigued. It's a lovely looking CD.
Thank you.
And it really gives you the sense that you're looking at something from the 50s. And Sarah, you said a vinyl was about to be released as well.
Yes. So I'm so glad you feel that way because 1950s is what we were going for. That was our inspiration for the album. So you'll see it reflects the drum magazine of the 1950s. We really wanted people to feel the reference and feel that they've seen this before, but now we want to give you a bit more about it. So the album, which is available on CD and vinyl soon, has complete, you know, liner notes that explain to you who are these people, you've seen them before, what were their songs about, and gives
you
the whole
scope.
Okay,
now I want to find out lots of detail about the actual CD and listen to some. We'll use that as your music choice, if that's okay. But tell me, first of all, about Cape Town Swing. What is Cape Town Swing?
So swing dancing appeared in Cape Town in around 2012.
I don't know if that's
about
right.
Jeannie Elliott, who was a dancer from Texas, came down here to study, and she stumbled across a few people who were learning Lindy Hop from YouTube, and they were desperately looking for a teacher, and she happened to have been teaching in the States, so she started a little school called Boogie Back Dance Company, where Sarah and I actually both teach Lindy Hop now.
And did swing come to Cape Town as late as 2012?
Swing dancing, yeah.
Good grief.
Yeah. And it's really only in Cape Town. It's unfortunately not yet spread to Johannesburg and Durban and elsewhere.
So did the two of you then form this company to sort of further the whole process of swing dance?
So swing is really a social dance. And so we had these classes and a few people learning, but we didn't have anywhere to dance or any music to dance to. So Cape Town Swing is a non-profit that we started to create that space for the social dancing. So we organize events, we try and promote swing dancing, swing music, and swing culture in Cape Town.
But how did you meet? You said you both took dance classes, so obviously you were both attracted to the concept of swing.
Yes, so I moved here like about a year after Jeannie started Boogie Back Dance Company, and I to my knowledge, there was no swing dancing in South Africa, and I thought, oh no. I had been dancing for 5 years at that point, and I thought, is it going to be on me to bring swing dancing to South Africa? So I was so relieved when I found that Boogie Back existed, and Brendan was a student at the time. So yeah, that's how we met, and he's since become a teacher, and we've been teaching together for the past couple of years.
And I see from your website that you do various functions and festivals apart from the teaching. So it seems to me to be quite an active company, Cape Town Swing.
Yeah, so it's a non-profit and it's completely volunteer run. So we have quite a big sort of team of volunteers that helps us. And the Pebble Shakers, the band that's produced this album, is one of the projects that we've had, that there was no live swing music in Cape Town. And so starting a band, starting a group was part of trying to fix that problem.
Yeah, because it's a special sound, isn't it? And what I find interesting when we talk and listen to the CD more, I hope I'm not wrong, it's been recorded in such a way that it almost sounds as though it was made in the 50s, not too kind of hi-fi and fizzy.
Yeah. So we did try and go, I mean, for me, it was a whole learning process, figuring out how to produce a CD and being in a studio for the first time and working with a band. It was a hell of a lot of fun, but we were trying to get a sound that wasn't super modern that's sort of more authentic to where this music came from.
And also, I mean, I can say this, but you can't, reminding you of the radio sound in the 50s on medium wave. And that's not to put down the sound, as you'll hear in a moment, the CD sounds really quite remarkable. But it has an atmosphere, doesn't it, which you obviously tried very hard. And the Pebble Shakers, are they an established swing group in Cape Town? Just tell me a bit about them.
So I originally started the project as a big band, and we got a few musicians together from around Cape Town, realized that was a bit more than we could handle, and so we sort of downscaled it to the piece, the group that it is now, which is around seven. So we've got trumpet, trombone, sax, or clarinet, and then on the bass, double bass, piano and guitar and vocals.
Oh, okay.
So it's quite a classic sort of swing.
And this rib. Band, does it, apart from this project, does it work around Cape Town promoting swing, so to speak?
Yes. So we're so proud of the Pebble Shakers. They are the only band around who plays specifically for swing dancing, which is actually a very special skill. So for those who don't know, to play for a dancing audience requires the band and the dancers to really be interacting. So they play regular dances all around town, and as well as some other special private functions. We just had a big gig with them at Cafe Rue on Saturday, celebrating World Lindy Hop Day. They brought down the house, no doubt.
Yeah, it was totally sold out.
It was sold out, yeah.
I think it speaks to people. The music really gets people moving.
Yeah.
It's a combination, isn't it, of nostalgia. And even, I mean, both of you are clearly quite young. And you must, well, it there must be something about it. Like, for example, you, Sarah, said you've been dancing for 5 years in the States, where we know there's a jolly good swing tradition, isn't there?
Yes. Well, okay, so that's what was so exciting, actually, about this project. So, right, in the States, we have this narrative of swing dancing started in the 20s and the 1930s in Harlem, New York. It was this fusion dance. Some people call it the Great American Folk Dance. And then there was a big revival in the 1980s. So all over the States, any city you go to, there's dancing everywhere. And people our age, I mean, all ages, dancing this dance. And in South Africa, we had this idea, well, it only came here 2012. But we see that South Africa very much had its own swing era, swing scene, and that this music was intrinsic to it. And it really peaked in the 1950s. Although it started at the same time that the U.S. swing era did as well, 1920s,
30s. And Sophiatown was very much a center, wasn't it?
It was.
Okay, well, I think it's time now to hear one of the tracks. And the CD has what? It has 12 tracks.
Yeah.
12 tracks. What are you going to choose? What should we listen to first?
I was thinking we could do Orlando. It's a song that speaks to some of the history of the forced removals. So this music had a very political aspect to it. And this has got quite a nice story that maybe we can talk about.
Yes, okay, because I just wanted to reiterate what you said, Sarah, that each of the tracks in the booklet, which is a very, very nicely organized booklet, has a kind of a biography of who originally performed these songs and how you came about getting them. But let's listen to the track first. Here it is, Orlando.
Suga mapepa, bathi masisuke Goli. Kwase kusuka mapepa, bathi masisuke Goli. Siye Orlando, chua. Siye Orlando, chua. Siye Orlando, chua, 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 chua. Siye Orlando, chua. Siye Orlando, chua. Siye Orlando, chua, 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 chua. Kwase kusuka maphepha, bathi masisuke Goli. Kwase kusuka maphepha, bathi masisuke Goli. Siye Orlando, chua. Siye Orlando, chua. Siye Orlando, chua, 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 chua. Siye Orlando, chua. Siye Orlando, chua. Siye Orlando, chua, 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 chua. Sesipe chua.
Sie Orlando
chua 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 chua. Na so ge isitimela. Se si pege e Orlando. Na so ge isitimela. Se si pege e Orlando.
Sie Orlando
chua.
Sie Orlando
chua.
Sie Orlando
chua 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 chua.
See Orlando,
chua.
See Orlando,
chua, 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 chua.
There you are, a track from a new CD called Sophia Town, Echoes of Sophia Town with the Pebble Shakers, and that was called Orlando. And you heard there, I think, what I was talking about, the sound of the era especially. And my two guests are project coordinators of Cape Town Swing, Sarah Boyd and Brendan Argent. And tell me a little bit, Sarah, maybe you tell me a little bit about that song, Orlando, who first wrote it and performed it.
Right, so this was a song composed by Joanna Radebe, and it was performed by Miriam Makeba and the Skylarks. And this might be one of the more well-known songs on the album, but we really wanted to include it. It spoke to, as Brendan was just explaining, the history around Sophia Town and the forced removals and the legacy of apartheid, really. That's been an essential component of this project, is understanding how the music and the art is intertwined with the history and the times. And right. It's a big part of why this project exists, actually, because, frankly, this music never, I think, got the popular, its place in the popular canon that it really deserved. The fact that people don't know these songs, that they're not the standards, maybe that we're so familiar with from America, is tragic.
Well, you see, it's interesting you say that, because we talk about the forced removals of Sophia Town and all that. Is it a case that the swing era sort of jammed to a halt then? These people were forbidden, weren't they, from performing in white areas? And so did it go underground? Because you've done quite a lot of research, haven't you, both of you,
yeah,
for this album and for the liner notes?
So I think what's really interesting to me is, I think sometimes people try and keep politics and culture separate. But really, this music and the songs that they were singing were so tied up with the oppression in South Africa and with what it was like to be black in a township where it was in sometimes illegal to record, or, you know, your song, if you were going to get it out there, was likely to get censored, and that there was just no support for black musicians at the time. And I think many of these artists, though they were really the fathers of jazz in South Africa, have received very little recognition.
And so that was one of your aims, to bring the stuff that people have not heard. As you said, they're not well-known hits. Maybe some of them are, but to sort of bring it back into the public domain.
Right. And I think something we've become aware of, I don't want to downplay the fact that these artists, I think for a lot of people, especially people in the township, are very much alive. People remember Zakes Nkosi, like, you know, just because we don't know about him doesn't mean that other people don't. But the fact that, I will say as an outsider coming from America, that I would come here and I would hear jazz playing in the shops and I'd think, okay, there's a taste for swing, but that I didn't know that the Manhattan Brothers existed for 6 years.
It must have been quite a discovery for you.
Which I realized people would say, well, come on, we all know who the Manhattan Brothers are. But I think both of us felt that, no, this needs to be front and center. People need to know these artists and know their songs and know their stories.
But Brendan, how then did you get interested in the swing era? One associates a young man with perhaps something more hip, if you don't mind.
Actually,
what attracted you?
My fiance at the time and I were looking for something to dance at our wedding. And we tried a bit of salsa and we tried a bit of ballroom dancing and nothing had really stuck. And then a friend dragged us along to a swing class and he said, you just have to come and do this. And it was just so much fun. It was silly and we all just had a laugh. And I think I enjoyed the athletic nature of it as well. But I've always kind of enjoyed the music, and learning to move to it, to dance to it, was really quite a discovery.
Yeah. So I just want to reiterate, you did say you are a teacher as well, aren't you, Brendan? Both of you are teachers in the school called?
It's the Boogie Back Dance Company.
Boogie Back Dance Company, which is part of Cape Town Swing.
Yeah, it's like a sister group. We collaborate a lot, but Boogie Back is, we organize all the classes and the teaching, and Cape Town Swing does all the social dancing and the events.
And what sort of response are you getting from people?
I mean, it's definitely a growing community. I think a lot of people still don't really know that there's swing dancing, that you can come and learn to lindy hop. But yeah,
What is lindy hop? I have to ask that question.
So lindy hop is swing dancing, the swing dancing that came from Harlem, New York. So it got its name from Charles Lindbergh. So the myth goes that lindy hopped the Atlantic. So one of the original dancers, Shorty George Snowden, gave the name to the dance, and it sort of stuck. Mm-hmm. So we talk about lindy hop to let people know that we're doing the original African American dance that you know had its heyday in Harlem, New York. Okay. And was done to this big band music.
And so the response is good, but what about what sort of age group and people, and is it across the races, across ages, male, female, everything?
It is quite a mishmash, and I think it's quite accessible for people from all sorts of backgrounds and ages. And I think we've done I'm quite proud of the job we've done in terms of making it an inclusive community, that we have people from quite a diverse backgrounds and interests and ages, and people feel welcome when they come to our classes and our events. It's definitely something we are still working on. Yeah. And I think being based in the CBD in Cape Town with classes that cost money, it excludes portions of the population.
Yeah, of course.
And that's something Cape Town Swing has also worked on, in trying to include people from different areas. And
are you funded? Do you get funding for this? How do you pay for it?
It's completely self-funded. Our events pay for themselves as far as we can. The album itself was part of an Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign. So this whole project, actually, we raised just over R250,000 from 25 different countries in support of this project. And that has kind of supported the three tiers, the one being the music, finding this music, transcribing the original track so that there's sheet music that people can play from, working with the band to learn the music, and then eventually recording this album.
Yeah. I want to find out more about how you actually found the music. But just quickly, all this is part-time for you, isn't it? Because you both are professionals. Sarah, you told me what you were doing at Stellenbosch.
UCT. Well, I'm a writer and researcher at the business school at the GSB at UCT and a few other universities, doing case studies and academic research on businesses and organizational development.
Gosh, and you, Brendan?
I'm an engineer for EDF Renewables, and we do utility scale solar and wind farms.
Okay, all of which is quite a long way away from swing.
Yeah.
Let's have another track, because I'm getting more and more intrigued to hear more of this as we go along. What is number two?
So we picked See You Later.
So the penny whistle is really a sound that I think people associate with South Africa and with this era. And this is one of the tunes that we really liked and we were able to include on the album. Finding a penny whistle player was quite a process, but there's an amazing guy called Duke Norman who stays in Lange. And he learned from some of the greats that actually feature on this album. So this is him featuring on See You Later.
Authentic stuff, actually. that's another track off the CD called Echoes of Sophia Town with the band The Pebble Shakers. That was called See You Later. And I'd like to ask one of my guests just to explain, because you said with the other one who it was written by, who is playing there, and that penny whistle. Tell me a little bit about the background of this track.
Sure. So this song was originally composed by Dan Hill and performed by Lemmy Mabasso. So Lemmy was, back in the 50s, this child prodigy, this sort of teen star. He was well known for his stage presence, I guess we'll say that, his dancing on the streets and on the stage. I mean, he really entertained people. So he was one of the biggest stars and one of the few who recorded popular, well-selling albums, one of the only black artists afforded the opportunity back in his time.
So the penny whistle that we heard there, you said that you found, after a search, someone in Langa. What did you do? Did you advertise, or how do you find a penny whistle player?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that connected within the Cape Town music industry, and my connections mostly come through the musicians in the band that I work with, and so they sort of each put out feelers, and one by one we kind of got these suggestions, but sometimes it was sort of elderly white ladies that were playing penny whistle, and I was like, not sure this is quite what we're going for. But eventually I found this contact for Duke, and he was just fantastic, and he joined us for some rehearsals, and we were all just like, this is it.
Did you just fit in with the band immediately?
Yeah, he slotted in nicely, and okay. Yeah, it was fantastic to work with him.
Let me remind you that this is Fine Music Radio. The program is People of Note, and we're talking about this album Echoes of Sophia Town, which is a project from Cape Town Swing, and my two guests are the project coordinators, Brendan Argent and Sarah Boyd. I'm interested with something like this because, as you were saying, Brendan, these are not original recordings, so there must be copyright issues.
Yeah, so that's been a big part of the research, trying to find who owns these songs, who wrote the songs, who the artists were. It's been quite a process over the last 3 years or so just collecting the songs. So quite a few of them come from private collections of vinyls. Some of them come from the various archives, music archives that we've been sort of sorting through and trying to find. But often there's not a lot of meta information about who the artist was or who the composer was, and it's been quite a lot of digging to try and find out who owns the rights to the music.
Where did you find that? How did you know where to go? I mean, old vinyls, I presume you went to people's collections or libraries or whatever. Was it as basic as that, basic research?
Yeah, so some of it's the few people I know that are into vinyl tell me, hey, this guy's got an old collection, you should check it out. And as people have started to hear this music, we've had a few more connections of people saying, oh, my granddad's got this old records, collection that okay. I should come and have a look. And we've been piecing it together from that.
Yeah, and I think we would find, and this came up again this year once we started trying to dig more on the research side for the stories, there's a whole network of people invested in music preservation in other genres or related genres outside of jazz, South African music, that is, and they're all connected, and they can all say, have you talked to that person? Yeah, we talked to that person. So they all know each other, and so it was a little bit like, okay, so this network exists, but maybe our community or people who love swing and jazz aren't necessarily aware of it or tapped into it.
So once you found a piece on an album, a vinyl or whatever, you found a song, what happened then? Did it have to be written out, notated, listened to get the authentic sound?
Yeah, so there's no sheet music available for, I would say, the vast majority of music from that era. So actually three of the guys on the band did the transcriptions. So that involves just listening really short pieces at a time, writing out the notes. And especially for the pieces which are virtually a big band, you're writing out 15 parts maybe.
Absolutely.
And trying to hear, is the second trombone doing this or is this a trumpet? And I find it mind-blowing how people can actually piece apart the whole thing and figure out the harmonies.
And I think what's been one of the really rewarding parts of this process, seeing it brought to life by real musicians now. I mean, the Pebble Shakers, an amazing band, and the guys involved in actually transcribing, Duncan, our saxophone player, was kind of one of the chief transcribers. And he talks about, that you can't, because a lot of these recordings that they have are from scratchy vinyl covers, they can't always hear what's going on. So they, as the musicians, have to use their judgment to decide what were they probably intending to do here, or make decisions about what would sound best. So in a lot of ways, they're leaving their mark on this music and making it, in some cases, I think, sometimes even better, or sometimes like taking it to another level.
They joke, and I've sat in on the rehearsals with them, and sometimes they're convinced that the band just made a mistake. And when they were playing this, they had one shot to record it, and they're having to go, now do we play the mistake or do we correct what we think they were going for?
But that's a huge part of the story, because there were so few opportunities to record. And once they did, I mean, especially with the processes being what they were, it was your one shot. And these musicians, there are some really amazing articles that we're going to try to post on our blog, the Echoes of Sophia Town blog, where we try to just make everything open source, all this information about the artists. And some of them speak to the real experiences of musicians in the 1950s. They really couldn't make a living playing this music. So there really weren't opportunities to, you know, fund their development or recording.
Yeah. Mm.
And the band, the Pebble Shakers, when you approached them to do this project, and as you say, the saxophone player did some transcribing and filling in the gaps, did they adapt to the style immediately? Because are they basically a swing band to begin with?
Well, we formed the band to play for the Cape Town swing dance community. So we were originally playing covers of the classic American songbook that people are quite familiar with. Mm-hmm. And that in itself was an adaptation for them, because most of them come from a more sort of bebop or some classical background. And so learning to play for dancers and this kind of 1930s, 1940s swing was an adjustment. And then learning to play this music has also been an adjustment, because the sound is a bit different and the rhythms are a bit different. And that's been a process that we've certainly been working.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall or someone in seat at the first rehearsals or the first playthroughs. Were you excited when you heard the music for the first time, or did you think,
yeah,
gosh,
it was,
there's a lot of work to be done?
It was total shivers to hear this music coming from sort of scratchy vinyl recordings to actually sitting and hearing it being played live.
Oh, yeah.
Most of these for the first time in 70-plus years. So.
Gosh. Yes, Sarah, you were going to say.
Oh, no, I felt that way when we were in the studio and getting to hear it. I think you can take it for granted. I think we're very spoiled, those of us swing dancers who have, like, all these big bands in America recording great music. When you're actually sitting with the band as they're creating these amazing slides, or I don't know all the technical jargon. I'm not a musician. But these things that are, to make it swing, and to see them actually pulling it off so well, it shivers.
And
like
all the while, bearing in mind the period, because you, as we've been talking about the sound and the look of the CD, the sound, the kind of nostalgia feel that you wanted for the whole project.
Yeah, and Andrew Ford, who helped us with the producing, and we used his studio, and he was fantastic, but he really helped us in terms of the mic selection and the way we set it up and the way it was mixed and mastered to try and get that sort of sound that we didn't want, this very modern sounding track. So,
gosh. Well, let's have another track. What is track number 3?
Ooh, I was going to suggest, since you were just talking about the jazz standards, should we go to Jump and Jive?
Yeah, I think it's a good call.
Yeah.
So what are we going to hear?
The Jumping Jive. Mm-hmm. This is a song, was actually a cover, and we only discovered this fairly far down the game. We were trying to find what this song actually came from, but there's a song called The Honey Dripper, and this was a song that was popular in South Africa, and this is an adaptation from that.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's called The Jumping Jive.
Yeah.
Boy, the honey dripper, he's a killer. The honey dripper, so sweet, high, he's a solid coquette. Really, a mellow cat. He jumps and sways, he rips and writes, he ships and jumps, he's high all the time. So be that cat and jump for joy. Swing it all day, boy. He sure does jump for joy. You dig that link, you dig that beat, you get yourself right on your feet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That cat can jump or dig or swing it all day, boy. He sure does jump for joy. Thank you.
There you are, The Jump and Drive, another track from the CD called Echoes of Sophia Tone, with a band called The Pebble Shakers. And my guests on this week's edition of People of Note are Brendan Argent and Sarah Boyd, who are the project coordinators of Cape Town Swing, who brought this project to life and onto CD and onto vinyl. I still want to see a copy of the vinyl, but we don't have any record players here, so we can't do it that way. But you know what I was thinking? We were chatting during that piece of music. What about royalties? Was that a nightmare, or was it a problem?
It's been a challenge. So for me, it's been an eye-opening look into the music industry and how the heck artists make any money from producing music. But I've been in touch with some of the big publishing labels to try and find out who owns the rights. And some of these songs were published by companies that no longer exist, that were bought by a company that no longer exists, and sort of you go down the chain to try and figure out who actually owns these rights and how the money that we're paying to these publishing organizations will actually make its way to the families of these artists. And I guess it's something we're going to continue to challenge them on, because I'm not convinced that they even have the contact details of some of these families. And I know the people that supported this project want to know that the money is going to the original artists, and we're committed to trying to make sure that that happens.
Do you know offhand if any of the original artists are still alive, or is it just their families, their children, anything like that?
So Dorothy Masuka was one of the last that we knew was alive, and she passed away earlier this year. It was really quite a really sad moment in the context of this project, realizing that we'd actually hoped that she would come and speak at our launch event, and then when she passed away, it was really like closing of the door of the last people that we were trying to honor.
So it's the families that you're trying to trace, actually. It's a sort of almost like a investigative work, really, to try and get hold of the families of these people.
Because the copyright extends 50 years beyond the death of the artist, and those royalties are supposed to be paid to the families of the artists.
Right.
But I'm also not sure exactly what happened with the contracts that were written in the 1940s and 50s. I think artists may have been paid next to nothing and lost all their rights completely. But
it's an old story. Yeah.
How long did this project take from beginning to this production of this album?
It's been surprisingly short.
I thought you'd say years.
Well, as Brendan said, because we really felt, you know, we had this, I think, ideal way of how this project would play out, but we knew that time was really of the essence, because so much of that, many people from that generation, the artists and people who remember, well, we're losing them. And so we did this. The crowdfunding campaign was last September.
Oh, gosh.
So
it was hard work,
like
clearly,
months.
And quite intense, was it?
Yeah, the crowdfunding campaign, trying to sort of raise the enthusiasm and get people on board and excited about it to actually put money behind the project, was obviously quite an intense month. And then as soon as we had the money to get the transcriptions, to start practicing, to get the album recorded, and then the other two aspects which we can just touch on is we held an art exhibition for artwork inspired by the music and the stories. And we had this launch event where we played a whole night of South African Swing. So we have 12 songs on this album, but we've actually transcribed 40 songs in total. So we had a whole night of live South African Swing music.
Yeah. Are we going to have Echoes of Sophia Tone 2?
Oh, we'd love to. At the moment, we are still trying to recoup some of the costs of the production and, all the time that's gone into this. As soon as we've done that, and we're hoping to do that largely through sales of the album, which is available, we're already looking to album number 2. There's so many tracks we'd love to record still.
Thus far, have you any idea how the sales are going? I know it's early days yet, but still.
Yeah, so the album has been available for about a month now.
Yeah.
And we've sold close to 200 CDs. We have I think we produced 2,000 CDs in total. So that's kind of our target to recoup.
Is this a nationwide thing? I know it says Cape Town Swing. What is happening in Durban and Johannesburg and all that about swing?
So, well, in terms of the album, so especially now that we've just now introduced digital sales, I mean, this has gone international. So we've got so many international orders because our crowdfunding base, as Brendan said, 25 different countries, I mean, people around the world. So the music is traveling, But in terms of the actual swing dancing community, we need to seed that. So we're actually kind of hoping that Durban and Joburg people poach Cape Townians and that they carry the dance
up
that
to
way.
Those cities.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be great to have a swing dance company in Sophia Town, wouldn't it? Well, it's called Triumph now. I'm not sure if they've
it's been renamed to Sophia Town.
Yeah.
Sarah and I were actually there earlier in the year, and we arranged some interviews with some of the original residents of Sophia Town to talk about their memories of listening to this music live and dancing to it. And it's been a huge component to this project, is trying to capture the stories before they disappear. Because it's one thing to have a song, but to hear the story behind the song and why it was written and what it's about, that's really where the gold is.
And to give it back to them, to say, hey, there's someone else.
I mean, there must
it
be
on.
People, the families who would absolutely love the CD because it would bring back so many memories. You were talking about art just now. The artwork on the actual CD is quite interesting because, like the sound, it's got a 50s feel. The color, the texture has got a 50s feel.
Yes. So we actually worked, Orly Seton did the graphic design for the album for this whole drum magazine look. So she's actually a former dancer who's now based in Joburg. So who knows, maybe she can seed things up there. But 100%, we played around with different ideas, but ultimately we said we have to bring it back to Sophia Town, where Drum Magazine was housed, and back to that time.
Also, the CD itself, you've made look like a vinyl album.
Yeah, we printed on the CD with the vinyl look.
Let's have another track. What, the Third Avenue Special? Tell me about this.
Yes. So this is one that right away gives you that big band feel from Temi Paliso and the Alexandra Big Star Band. So it is named after Third Avenue in Alexandra. So it really is one of those that kind of speaks to the township and the time.
That's another track there off what I'm sure you'll agree is proving to be a very delightful album called Echoes of Sophia Town, Third Avenue Special. Sarah, just tell me a little bit about the background of that tune.
Right. Well, so, I mean, the whole album, you have a range of different swing styles, some that are very clearly mirroring American style jazz and others that, you know, like Chabolo with the penny whistle, that's very Kwela, very South African. Third Avenue is kind of one of these fusion ones where you very much feel the big band sound, but Ntemi Piliso was very adamant about having that marabi be underpinning the whole song. So that comes through here, and so that's what's kind of nice, actually, as you go through the album, you can see the different subgenres within South African swing. This is the fusion one.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
By the way, just because of the amount of research you've done, are there books available on this subject? Or what if people now suddenly want to learn more about the era, about the style, all that?
Please, because we really aren't trying to reinvent the wheel here. Our liner notes are very limited. They just give you a snapshot of these artists and these songs. So and that's really based on the work of some really amazing researchers and jazz enthusiasts. So really, if people want to learn more, Chris Ballantine and his book Marabi Nights, it's kind of this go-to text about the era and the music and the people there. Gwen Ansell and her book Soweto Blues, those are two essential texts if you want to see all the gritty details.
And both of them have been very supportive of the project and very helpful for us in terms of finding more information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a few other, there's great blogs. Electric Jive is another go-to, and Soul Safari. They're always posting about these artists, a bit more digestible and accessible. And another book, Beyond Memory, by Max Mojepelo.
But for me, it's sad how little there is.
Yeah.
If you want to find out about a big label, a big recording company in the States, you'll find whole bookshelves full of writing about it.
Yeah.
Come to South Africa and try and learn about the music industry. It's few and far between what sources you can find, and I think it's a real gap for this sort of research.
Which hopefully you are going to somehow fill, maybe even inspire someone to write another book or two, apart from the two that you mentioned, or the three there. Those books are listed in the booklet, the CD booklet, because although you said it's limited, I was very struck by the detail in the liner notes, both of the introduction and a background to the whole apartheid tragedy of Sophia Town, and also the various tracks that you've got and the artists. So there's a good deal of information in this, but then there's your website, isn't there? Which is?
Yeah, Sarah's done a ton of work putting a lot of this information together on our website. So if you go to capetownswing.co.za, there's a whole section on Echoes of Sophia Town. You can order the CD there, but you can also read through the blogs that Sarah's been writing about these artists, about the songs, and about the process of putting this project together.
We've got so much more to write about. We, as you said, full-time jobs, so there's a lot more coming, a lot more juicy stuff, like our trip to Sophia Town.
Are you, neither of you, you said earlier, Sarah, that you're not a musician. Neither are you. Brendan, are you a musician?
I actually played bassoon.
You did?
I did, yeah.
Why do you think that's funny, Sarah?
I never knew. We had to interview to find
out. So I can read music, and I know enough to help the band out, more from how to get stuff swinging. That's kind of my contribution with the band, is how do we make the swing for dancers?
Mm. Yeah. And that's the question, isn't it, that I think you've, may I say, without being an expert on swing, you've achieved with this, because that band, the Pebble Shakers, swings.
Oh, that's great to hear.
CD. Yeah.
Yeah. Really glad you agree.
And you really feel, if you sit with your eyes closed, it's like being taken back to a black and white movie house somewhere listening to these things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
I can't sit still when I listen to this music, I hope that's
it. It's so amazing to hear two young people. So I'm right in saying that you're both under 30, sort of-ish.
In that ballpark.
So absolutely passionate about something that comes from the 50s like this. So I wish you well. Thank you for telling me all about this, for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much.
And
for
the CD
us.
Is available online and in shops?
It's not in shops as yet. You can order it on the website, okay. Or get in touch with either of us.
Okay.
We've been getting our shipping together in the last month and getting the CD off around the world, but we can certainly get it around South Africa.
Okay.
So,
and then when that's done, we're going to wait for Echoes of Sophia Town 2.
For sure.
That's definitely in the pipeline. We have a lot more songs we'd love to record. And I'm sure, and maybe if I could do a quick shout out to anyone who has this kind of music sitting at home, old record collections or old, we found some amazing shellac records recently. And there's so much more that was recorded at this time that we can't find anywhere. So much has been lost. So if you have a source, we'd love to help bring it back to life.
And the best way then to contact you is through the website,
yeah,
which is www.capetownswing.co.za. A reminder of the CD, it's called Echoes of Sophia Town with the Pebble Shakers. And also, for our listeners on Fine Music Radio, it's going to be the CD of the week this week with Nick Cyro in the afternoon drive from Monday to Friday. So it'll get lots of lovely coverage.
Wonderful.
And it deserves to have a place on everyone's shelves, because not only is it lovely music, but it's a bit of a history lesson in the nicest possible way.
Yes.
It's a tribute. That's our idea.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. I was talking to the project coordinators of Echoes of Sapphire Town from CapetownSwing.co.za, Sarah Boyd and Brendan Argent. And what shall we go out with? What shall we end with?
We thought we would go out with one that always brings the house down.
It's called Baby in Soiree. It's Miriam Makeba with the Manhattan Brothers. And it's kind of a cheeky love song.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions. Escape the cold this winter with some fiery Italian passion as Peter Turin presents Family Secrets at Theatre on the Bay. Directed by Alan Swerdlow, Family Secrets is a sincere and entertaining story of a mother and son who face secrets which will change their lives forever. That's Family Secrets, starring Dorothy Ann Gould and Sven Rygrock, from the 3rd to the 13th of July, only at Theatre on the Bay. Book now.